When I speak about digital adaptation, I always get asked the same question. How do I convince my boss? Understanding the needs for digital change or even having a plan for achieving it is not enough. You need to convince your colleagues and management too. If you're one of the millions of web professionals who find this challenge frustrating, then I think I can probably help. It starts by helping colleagues make connections in their minds. I was recently reading a business case for investing in digital at a higher education institution. It contained solid arguments that made a lot of sense to me. It focused on users' needs and the growth of mobile, and as a web professional, I couldn't fault it. The problem was, it didn't need to convince web professionals. For me, the business benefits of providing a consistent, high-quality user experience were obvious. I understood that users have low patience threshold and that the smallest thing could alienate them. The problem is, this wasn't made explicitly clear in the document. To the reader, it came across as nitpicking. I mean, the site worked, didn't it? All the information was there. What's the problem, really? What may seem obvious to us as web professionals isn't to others. It's pointless to talk about responsive design, user needs, or any other pet peeve we may have if we don't explain its impact on the business. I do that in one of two ways. I refer either to it as a threat or as an opportunity. Which approach I use depends on the organisation. For example, convincing younger, less well-established businesses to adopt new practices isn't too challenging. Young businesses have less ingrained behaviour and are more open to new ideas. Yet even they need some convincing. If you work for an organisation like this, I would recommend focusing on the opportunities that your changes offer. Young companies are always hungry to gain market share. They're keen to expand and to better establish themselves. And if you can show how digital helps achieve this, then management will be open to hear what you have to say. However, working with larger, more well-established businesses takes a different approach. Some organisations have been around for hundreds of years. They have established business practices that have served them well, and they've got strong market positions with a suite of mature offerings. Why on earth would they change that winning formula? Such organisations perceive digital as a bolt-on, something that sits alongside their existing processes and offerings. If you need digital to do something more than that, you have to prove that the business model that has served them well for hundreds of years is under threat. Digital has changed the world we live in profound ways, but few realise just how much and how deep those changes go. Organisations carry on with business as usual despite the changes in consumer behaviour. It falls to you to show how those changes are threatening the company. Fear is a powerful motivator in even the most well-established organisation, but even that is not always enough, and that's especially true when dealing with middle management. The big problem with encouraging change in large organisations is going to be middle management. Senior management see the bigger picture. They care about the long-term health of the company. If you present them with a compelling argument and outline the tangible threats, then they are generally open to change. Middle management, however, are a bit more challenging, and that's because they have a much narrower remit and are not required to think about the bigger picture or the long-term health of the company. Middle managers are under enormous pressure. They have targets to meet on which their job relies, and they are almost always overworked. Getting their attention is hard enough, let alone getting them to change direction. When talking to this audience, you will only have limited success talking about business benefits. Their focus is a bit too narrow for that. You will find them resistant to change because nobody ever gets fired for doing the same thing that they did before. With middle managers, you need to appeal to their self-interest. You need to prove to them that your changes are going to benefit them and their department. How will you enable them to get their next promotion? How will you help them meet their targets? How will it ensure they get next year's budget? This may all seem very cynical, but it's not actually a criticism of middle management. It's just a reality of business within many organisations. Being a middle manager is often a precarious position, and so you're wary of any form of change. You also find that some middle managers are slow to adopt the ideas of their subordinates. They feel it undermines their leadership. Now, of course, this is an absurdity, but considering the position they're in, it's not entirely surprising that they feel like that. In such situations, using the credibility of others comes into play. One of the most common responses I get when talking to web professionals about change is, it's okay for you, you're an outside expert, management listen to you. This is without a doubt true. Why this is the case, I can't really tell you. All I know is that I can say exactly the same thing as an internal digital team and get a completely different response. I imagine this must be very frustrating, but moaning about it is not going to make things better. What we need to do is learn from this fact and turn it to our advantage. If you're struggling to bring about change in your organisation, consider getting an outside expert in. Last week I spoke to a group of marketers in a large publishing house about their need for change, and next week I'm helping a higher education institution form their business plan for digital change. I often provide an outside independent perspective on digital adaptation. I have the credibility that comes with writing a book on the subject, but I also can say things that an internal member of staff could never get away with. Because I sit outside of the hierarchical structure, I can challenge perceived wisdom. I say this not to advertise my services, it's to show the power of the outside expert. But you don't have to hire an outside expert to get many of the benefits they bring. You can quote them in your business case and get much the same effect. Better still, you can quote many experts all saying the same thing. The more experts that make the same recommendation, the harder it is to ignore. But remember, if you're going to quote an expert, you need to explain why they are the expert. You cannot expect your manager to know who Paul Boag is, even if you do. As I wrap up this very long post, thanks for sticking with it, by the way, I want to leave you with a word of warning. Don't ask for too much. The scope of change required in many organisations can be intimidating. Often it requires changes in culture, in structure and offerings in order to adapt to the new digital reality, and that can be a scary prospect for even the most enthusiastic of managers. We wade in as web professionals, don't we, listing all the things that we need doing. Rarely do we think about the feelings this stirs up in our colleagues. For them, it's an alien world, a new intimidating reality. I'm all in favour of outlining the big picture. I'm even in favour of scaring colleagues a little bit. But once you've done that, you need to give them a small, achievable first step. Don't expect them to sign off on transforming the whole business. Instead, ask them to fund a prototype, map some customer journeys, or something equally achievable. As I said in my previous post, think big, but act small.